I told I guess everybody that the title of this is the Year of Prayer or Panic coming up. Happy New Year. New Year's resolutions now for you, okay? And you know, you don't hear much about those New Year's resolutions anymore because people don't keep them and can't actually do them. And if I were to title this passage tonight anything else, I would call it Dream Big Dreams and Big. But we plan big sometimes and fall short on our New Year's resolutions. We plan and fall far short sometimes. Welcome to 2023. Did you ever think you would see 2023? Has a big plan gone astray? 2023 years since Christ was born. And even though Christ said soon, He still has not come back. 2023 years, and we have been watching and still are waiting. Believers are still waiting. 2023 years in human time is not soon. Way we think. That's why we see so many appear to have abandoned Christ. That's why so many have turned to evil, to attack faithful Christianity, faithful Christians, Satan winning. God tells us not to fear. Tells us to pray. But statistics right now are not too good. The U.S. Surgeon General, and I'm going to go into some of these things, and I know in the past we kind of talk about these things as though this is a reason to panic and fear. But I want to suggest to you what we have to look at is an opportunity. The U.S. Surgeon General says and tells his report is 7 in 10 teenage children at 64% have mental health problems. Result of the pandemic. That's their message. And they're the ones that the government, you see, is the one that allowed that virus to be sent to China. It was developed in the United States University in Penn State, contrary to law, contrary to what Fauci should have done and everything, so it's just evil. U.S. Surgeon General says 59% of teens in the U.S. have been bullied or harassed online. U.S. Surgeon General says that 1 in 6 children, 1 in 6 between the age of 14 and 18, are considering suicide. 44% increase over a year ago. Texas mom has left the state of Texas and gone to California to get transition of sex, contrary to the Texas state court's orders outlawing or preventing that surgical process in the state of Texas. For her son. Yeah, but it's also the law in Texas. Pedophiles are spending years in jail for less than the surgery the doctors are performing with no apparent penalty. We just saw a big spending bill in our government, billions of dollars. And you see, this is the same old thing that's been going on before and for a long time. And what happens in Congress is, and we're having a big fight about it in the House right now, but I think you can just cancel any chance that government's ever going to pull any fat out of the fire. But what happens in Congress is, instead of doing it like we're supposed to present a budget and item by item be approved, so you would disprove one item and approve another item, so you could approve the military budget and disprove the budget for the bridge over the Rio Grande or whatever. But that's not what they do. They wait until the last minute, and then they, I'll vote for yours if you'll vote for mine. I'll vote for my county, and you vote for my county, and I'll vote for your county. So I have undertaken to start reading this two-volume book, One Nation Under Blackmail. And I have gone through now, and I have ascertained that there are over 300 U.S. government agencies, and I'm not through the list yet. I'm just to page 47. And you see, if you'll vote for mine, I'll vote for yours. And so what this whole story is it's blackmail after blackmail, and so you're caught in sex abuse, so I hold that. I'll tell everyone about that. If you don't vote, I will vote for your bill if you vote for mine. So that's what's going on. Whitney Webb has written 2,000 pages of this, unveiling bribe by bribe. He's just reporting what's in the news. He's just reporting what part's in the news. So, communists are seeking control of this country. That's another part of the big problem that we've got. All these, don't they want to make you panic? Don't they want to make you mad? Don't they want to make you... You know, Ruth and I have been watching a couple of the movies here that deal with the Germans, and what happens is, you see, that when the communists come in and take over, they take everything. They don't take 30% of your property, they take everything. And so next week I'm planning on going into some suggestions that we do, things that we do for the benefit of ourselves and our neighbors and our families and what have you, in order to deal with what possibly is coming down the pike. And one of those is we need to get rid of everything we don't need. If the communists are successful, they're going to take it anyway. So we just as well sell everything we don't need, get rid of it. That means all the things that we're not using. Probably what God had in mind in the first place. If we didn't need it, why do we have it? Anyway, but that's just one idea. So anyway, well, what does God say? So I want to look first here. I've already moved my pages wrong here, but what does God say? I want to turn to just a verse here. My fingers at work. I turn the pages. I've got it marked in the Bible. I don't know why I just didn't turn there. But anyway, Genesis 1, 27 and 28. You all know it. It's one of my favorite verses. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He him. In 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, over the air, over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's a pretty big chore. Pretty big chore. Well, turn to Matthew 28. Or 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 35. See, God is said to have dominion over all these things. And then in Matthew, when Jesus comes aboard, this is what He says. This is the lawyer that asked him the question. And then one of them said, which was a lawyer, asked him in 35, Matthew 22, 35, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So everything that God wants us to do hangs on those two. Subdue everything and then love our neighbors. Love the Lord. Love our neighbors. But turn to John 10:24. Through 32. Then John 10:24 through 32. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them and told them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give then to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which give them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up the stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Well, see, he's telling these people that he's done the work. He's done the works. And then you turn over to Matthew 22 and 35. John 12. John 14, 12. John 14, 12. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And the greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So not only are we being told by Christ himself that we're here to do the works, that's assuming that we're believers, that we follow him, and we're here to do the works. And not only that, but that's going to be bigger and better than Christ himself did. I just It almost baffles me that that's even possible. That's not regular stuff. You see, God's not talking about when he says bigger than what I do. He's talking about bigger than what Christ did. And you see, if that's the case, then we don't have to think about what God told us to do. We don't have to pray about what God told us to do. You know, those things that he told us to do are reading the Word, meditating on the Word, praying always, attending church, trusting the Lord, love your neighbor, suffering persecution, sharing the gospel message, seeking God's will, loving your spouse, training your children, obeying God's commandments, and on. Those things he told us. We don't really have to pray about those. Right? God wants us to do it. We don't have to pray him and ask him to help us do it. He told us to do it. He wants us to do it. We ought to know that that's God's will. Christ did that perfectly. His works are above that. So what do we do more than Christ could do? What can we do? Well, Sir Winston, knighted by Queen Elizabeth. Sir Winston lived to be 103 years of age. He was a commoner, and he was knighted by Queen Elizabeth. And Sir Winston had a job for his company, a British company, in Czechoslovakia. And the Germans started moving in, and the Jewish people started talking about, how can we get out? How can we get out? Sir Winston undertook to talk to those people about trying to get them out. It became abundantly clear that he could not get those adults out at all. The Germans weren't going to let him do it. Now, they had occupied Czechoslovakia. They hadn't actually done it by war. They just occupied it because the Czechs were so weak. But he undertook to list literally thousands of little children. Got their names, their address, dates of birth, cataloged them, organized them, got them all put together, and undertook to get forms printed up. In some of them were forged, okay, but some of these forms were legit, and he got the Germans to authorize children to be transferred to Britain. No other country would take them. United States turned them down. Britain took. He actually got, before the Germans cut him off, 600 young people transferred to Britain. Children. The survivors of those children have met. The ones they know about that are still alive. And the last that they made this little video of him, he was still alive, 103 years of age. That family, Sir Winston's family, numbers well into the 4,000s from those children that he saved. Oh, that's big. That's big, you know. That's a big task, and he undertook to do it with his faith and what he was doing, the blessing. There was a Chinese girl, Nora Lam, in China, Mao Zedong, sent her to the firing squad. Standing there before the firing squad, there's seven guns all aimed at her. They have seven shots. Praying big that she'd not die. big storm came up, blew these guns off kilter, and all missed. She'd been telling her captains of her guards she was a Christian, she wasn't coming. They saved her life. Finally, snuck out. She got married and snuck out of China. Big prayer. Didn't work for Christ, but it worked for her. Big prayer. And there's Colonel Eisenhower. Colonel Eisenhower, when he was in the Philippines, he was, of course, under MacArthur, but he had a lot of influence in the Philippines. Poland was trying to transfer the Jewish kids out of Poland. Colonel Eisenhower, the organizer that had the contacts, government in the Philippines, acquaintances with the military people in Poland area, they able to work it out. 400 children out of Poland, much like Sir Winston. Those are big prayer blessings. Big prayer blessings for those people. Well, my daughter sent me my youngest daughter sent me a little book, and I took a look at it and laid it down. Didn't really even read the title, but I just laid it down. It's laying there, and then all of a sudden I look at it and it says, "Pray big things." Big things. And I'm thinking, okay, one of those books that might suggest I don't read. Really, probably it's, doesn't get the Bible right or whatever. Anyway, one of those books that people write for money. And yeah, probably really was written by Julia Jeffries Sadler, a relation of Pastor Jeffries of First United or First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, his daughter. And I'm just going to tell you that I've read this book straight through. Probably in 2 hours, 3-4 hours. 2 days, took me 2 days, parts of 2 days. It's a story about pray big things. She had 3 miscarriages in 9 months. 3 miscarriages in 9 months. She prayed big for triplets. Prayed big for triplets. The story is about how she got them. Big prayers. And contrary to what I thought, just being a little nice little story, she goes through the Bible in the first 4 chapters, just lays it all out in simple language, common, everyday language. There's not biblical terminology in there at all. It's just plain old English. Just simple, simple, pithy statements that reflect the Word of God in a way that was exciting to me and caused me to kind of read it. But anyway, she encourages praying big dreams. So what is your big dream? What is your big prayer? Is your Is your big prayer this year a new car? One of Bruce's friends that she talked to, that she's trying to get to retire from the job because they're really not treating her right on the job. They're abusing her. And she really ought to quit. But she said, I can't quit. I just bought a new car. So, my other daughter said, but Dad, she said, you know, what if God really doesn't want us to have things anyway? He wants us to have experiences. I said, yeah, well, that's probably right. God wants us to have experiences. This is big things. That's us. We're the ones that want big things. So God wants experiences. Oh, okay, so I've never been to Hawaii, so let's go to Hawaii. That'd be experience, wouldn't it? Well, but what if the experience is not about God's work, and God wants us to experience God's work? God's word, God's work. What is the church's big dream? Oh, lots of new members. Lots of new members. More money. Lots of new members. What if God's plan is not the size of the church or the number of people, but the big job? The big job. And what if God's idea of a big job is that you help somebody that's disabled? Nobody in the church even knows you're doing it, like Jennifer's helping. Nobody in the church knows. What if that's the big job that God wants you to do? The big prayer. You pray for that person that you're helping. Most people don't want to believe it. God is always in control. He's got you right where He wants you. God, He's going to move you. God is in control even when we think He's not. Even when we don't even think He's there. He's moving us. He's in control. We have experienced people who are lost. We know people who are lost. If you look around in church, maybe not in our church, but if you look around in church, you will see a people pleading. Like the pastor's wife that I knew, always, always had pleading eyes every time I saw her. Like she was asking me, oh, help me, help me, help me. If you've ever seen somebody with pleading eyes, you know what I mean. Because you see the pastor was abusing. The lost persons, frail, trapped, human trafficking. The injured, the sick, divorced, controlling, controlled, the unfaithful. Faithful only at some things. The liars, drunks, the alcoholics. How do we fit in? How are we to fit in and pray big things? You know, if we pray big things, you too can have triplets. Expand the horizon. Expand the horizon. So here, and I have more, but let me go through some suggestions that we pray big things for this church. Those things which you see, if we pray what we want, God may be interested in it. Particularly if it's what He wants to, then He's going to help us out. So if we pray what He wants and pray big things, then He will be supportive. We don't have to pray for what God wants us to do because, you see, we already know. So part of this is some of the things God wants us to do. But if we're going to take action on these big prayers, not just pray, but we're going to take action, which means that we pray for Missy, we pray for the pastor's wife that I mentioned, if we know about it, we pray for them because, you see, God told us to. And we read the Bible about what we should be doing because, you see, God told us to. And we seek counsel of the Holy Spirit, you see, because God told us to. And we listen to the Holy Spirit because God told us to. We use common sense because God told us to. We keep the faith because God told us to. But we need to pray big that we take action. Because you see, the action you take for the person that has been abused by the pastor, the wife that's been abused by, the action you take may be, isn't in the Bible. The action we take may be something that we have to do because we have specialized knowledge and understanding. So therefore, somebody that's a counselor like Julia Jeffries Sadler, she can counsel women that have been abused over and over and over again and give them this Christian pithy statements in common ordinary English because she's skilled in doing that. And our problem as a church here is that there are people out there, and particularly and most importantly right now, the youth of this country are lost. Pat Flanagan has a son. He's lost. Somehow, we've got to make contact. Somehow, we've got to use big prayers. We've got to use big ideas, and we've got to actually act on and take action on those things. One of the things I've tried to do with Pat Flanagan's boy, Aaron Keith. Keith was to take him out to lunch. I'm not an automobile mechanic because, you see, so this is a guy that Terry Posey could take under his wing. Because he's a mechanic, and that guy's interested in automobiles. I can't do that, because I'm not, I don't know, if I hadn't been trained for 30 years where the gas cap was, I wouldn't know how to put the gas in. That's how much I know. So that's not my cup of tea, but it would be the right person for Terry Posey. Somehow, that connection, because they both are interested in cars. We had a man here that was into fishing. There were young men in the church that were wanting to fish. So that was an obvious connection that we tried to make. So somehow we've got to be able to make the connection so we can pray big prayers for those people that we know need help. It's the only way we're going to make any headway. If we pray big prayers, you too can have truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wisdom and your guidance. Thank you for your Son and his work on the cross. And thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. And thank you, Father, that you give us the wisdom through your word. As you say in James, you give us wisdom in James. You tell us that all wisdom is God's wisdom, and you tell us that you give us wisdom. And we pray, Father, that with that wisdom, you give us the ability, with what you have given us, to make decisions, to take action that is not necessarily spelled out in the Bible, because it's a specialized knowledge of a particular type of situation. You give us the ability to understand and see what is needed there, and we give us the ability to undertake to pray really big things for the people involved and pray big things in accordance with your will, to actually reach out and touch people in a way and in a manner to result doing your will in each and every situation that we have. It's tough, Father, and we understand it. We know that it's tough sometimes for those of us that are not inclined to do it, to go fishing, perhaps to reach out and touch that person. But somehow we've got to reach those people that need to be reached. Somehow we need to understand that if my expertise is counseling somebody that's being abused, that's where I need to be. That's where I can be of help. And that those people that need that, I pray, Father, that you give me the ability and the energy and the willingness to take action. Pray big for it and to take action that I know to be the appropriate way to deal with it. We pray these things, Father, in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.